we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday, and you live in Brevard County, Florida. It's a great place to live. I hope you are thrilled that God has divinely placed you here, strategically placed you here, and is going to cause you to grow in this place, and we are certainly thrilled to be here ourselves. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We're going to spend the next 30 minutes talking about God's word. We have been in the book of Isaiah. We're actually using Isaiah chapter 61, and we're talking specifically about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that was great for Isaiah. It was fulfilled in Jesus. But you and I, those were not the only two people that the Spirit of the Lord came upon. And you and I, we need to realize that just as the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, that he wants to be upon us as well. Acts chapter 2 says, this promise is for you, your children, and for all those who are afar off. So we're going to look at some of the aspects, some of the things that the Spirit of the Lord came upon people in past times to accomplish. We want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. If you are in the central part of the county, Bill Andriak has got lots and lots of experience working on coolant systems and heating systems. And if you need to attend to those matters at your house, I encourage you to give him a call, 759-3284, and he can get you fixed up the same way that he has helped us out at Merritt Assembly of God on multiple occasions. So tonight is our kids ministry night. Last week we wrapped up our Kids Turn Ministries kids rally and had a number of visitors that came out for that. Very excited. Kids had a great time, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do in the days ahead. And, you know, I want to encourage you, when you look at kids today, don't look at them as they are, but look at them with the eyes of potential of what God could do through them. And, you know, when I went into the ministry, the theme of the kids rally last week was misfits. And so when I went into the ministry and I answered, I went to my first church as a staff pastor, there was a person that came up and said, you know, we have watched you from the time you were a child, and we just knew that there was something a little different about you. And, you know, so when the theme misfits, came around, you know, I'm perfectly comfortable, not being exactly at home with all of the things in this world. I'm much more comfortable with the things that have an eternal perspective. And so whenever you see kids, realize that those kids are going to grow up. We hadn't had the Lusher family in about 4 years, and some other friends of ours came. And, you know, what it was amazing that people that you hadn't seen in a long time, those people changed. And so one of the people that attended the rallies looked over and they saw my son that was over there and said, oh my goodness, that's your son. And didn't realize just how drastically people change over a course of time. And so realize kids have potential. That's why we did that Kids Turn rally. It wasn't because we didn't have anything better to do with the funds. Didn't have anything better to do with spending, you know, four nights in church services. We want to invest in kids. And every night there was altar time, kids gathering around and praying. They were praying to be kinder whatever the theme night was, there were just kids that rallied around the altar each and every time. So kids ministry didn't stop last week. It starts up this week. Our weekly kids ministry involves a kids Sunday school class. It involves children's church for older kids, children's church for much younger kids. It involves junior Bible quiz on Sunday night for younger kids. It involves youth on Sunday night for older kids, and then classes that are age-specific and gender-specific. On Wednesday nights, we have girls' ministry, boys' ministry. We have one class that's for the younger kids that is boys and girls combined. But, you know, it's good to have something that you can relate to, and we're very thankful for all of our teachers. They do a wonderful job in training those kids in the ways of God. So let's get to the word, shall we? We talked on the last broadcast about Saul, how God anointed him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, anointed him to be a king, changed his heart, and then sin crept in and it alienated him from God and left him with a distressing spirit that was tormenting him. But today I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 13. And it says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, being David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." And I want you to know that David was at this point in time anointed not for a present ministry, but for a future one. The Spirit of the Lord coming upon you can be for your right now moment. It can be for a now word, but the Spirit of the Lord will also come upon you and prepare you for a ministry that is going to take place much further down the road. And I want you to know that whatever the Spirit of God begins, he also intends to finish. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and he was anointed for when he was going to be the future king. Did you know that God thinks farther out into the future than what we do? Everything that we tend to have in our vision sight is kind of myopic. It's like for right now. God, if you don't do something like right now, if you don't anoint me right at this moment, how can I ever know that you are going to exist? Jesse, David's father, didn't even invite David to his own anointing service. He thought all of his other sons had potential to be king, but he didn't necessarily think that David had the potential to be king. But God looked on the matter of the heart, not on the external appearance, and he said, "I'm anointing you, but it is going to be a while." And so I want to encourage you today that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, that you still understand that there is a preparation process. There is an educational process. David spent years after this in the king's palace. He learned how things should operate and learned how things shouldn't operate. He learned military strategy went out and had great victories wherever he went. But it was still a time. And the other thing is that when the Spirit of the Lord calls you and equips you for a future task, you are not necessarily going to have to lay your hand on to the process to make it happen. There was something interesting about David's ascent to the throne as opposed to other people who were anointed by prophets under God's command to be king. And that was that whenever they got the word that they were going to be king, this primarily happened with Israel and the tribes to the north, that whenever they got the command, they immediately went out and made it happen by force. And I want you to know there were always consequences that came as a result of that. David, on the other hand, said, you know what? He was anointed king. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He prophesied. He was anointed king. Now, I've been anointed king. I don't want to lay my hand on him because I don't want anybody laying their hand on me when I become king. You see, almost everything my wife and I do, we try and remember that as long as the earth endures, there's going to be seed time and harvest. We don't just necessarily believe that to be an agricultural experience, that we tend to be in the sowing, the nurturing, and the harvesting business. There's also the distribution of the process and all of that. And so I want to make sure that I sow to the Spirit so that I can reap from the Spirit. So I want to treat those in authority over me with respect, with dignity. I want to treat them well, because when I'm in authority, I want people to respect me and treat me well. I don't want to go out and undermine other people's authority. That's one of the things that I pay attention to whenever I'm watching the news, is whenever somebody rejects the authority over them and then still expects the people who are underneath them to respond to their authority. And you've heard me talk about that's the definition of rebellion. Whenever I rebel under God's authority and yet still expect other people underneath me to obey my authority, I am mistaken. Okay? And so we've seen that a number of times with in the political realm, where there's been a mandate that's been given and somebody said, no, I'm just not going to follow that because I don't like that. And I'm expecting all of those people who are under me to operate as if I'm the one in control, not the one in authority over me. Listen, God's the one who is in great control. And so don't lay your hand on those that the Spirit of the Lord has been upon. Don't lay your hand on God's anointed. And I believe that that's more than just the pastor, by the way. I believe that God's covenant people, that he doesn't want us doing one another injurious harm. So in 2 Samuel chapter 23, David says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me and his word was on my tongue. And this tends to be where we think most of the phrase, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and that it's going to be the foundation for which we speak. And that is true. That is true. There is, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, the Holy Spirit's going to give us the words that need to be said. There was a prophet who spoke to the armies to encourage them because they were facing opposition. And he encouraged them by saying, don't worry, this battle today does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, there was another prophet who the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to speak to the king on God's behalf. And I think it is very important. You see, in ancient Israel, there were three branches of government as well. There was the priest, the prophet, and the king. We in America have it as the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches. But there was a spiritual representation, and it was somewhat precarious, because all of the other kings of that land, they had totalitarian control. But God equipped Elijah to go and confront Ahab when he was king, and said, look, the climate is not going to be the same until it's not going to rain again until I say so. And so I want you to know that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you and I may be called to speak to issues in our current society on behalf of God. And I'll tell you, the Bible is full of times that people received that word. Sometimes they received it positively. Sometimes they received it negatively. If they received it positively, they made the change. If they received it negatively, they killed the prophet that spoke. And so you and I, we just need to know that the things that we are speaking forth are a thus saith the Lord, not a thus saith Bob. Okay? It's very important to know the difference between hearing from your own spirit and hearing from the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God is going to be calling people back into relationship. There is going to be a conviction, but our spirit will tend to have a condemning word. Our spirit will make us feel better, but might make our hearers feel worse. Where the Spirit of the living God, when he speaks, it is going to be drawing people or extending an invitation for them to come back to him and informing them of what the consequences are. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse number 20, came upon him to warn that sin prevents from prospering. Let me read that verse to you. It says, "Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, 'Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you.'" Okay, and so it says that transgressing the commandments of the Lord, I've just got this in here because I feel very strongly about this concept, and that is whenever we transgress the commandments of the Lord, we disqualify ourselves from being able to prosper, to being successful the way that God would define success. God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And Zechariah prophesies, "Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you." He said, you know, there are places you're going, I cannot go. Not because I can't, but you wouldn't want me being there, because wherever God goes, he's God. And things that are not pleasing in his sight, they're going to change. And so you and I, we have to make that decision. What's it going to be? Are we going to trust in the Spirit of the Lord, or are we going to trust in our own spirit? There are a number of other things, number of other passages where it addresses the Spirit of the Lord. And some of these we've already touched on in Isaiah chapter 50, our study of Isaiah. I was reading a study guide on the book of Isaiah here the other day, and it described that the latter part of Isaiah was the good news portion of Isaiah. And that's where we are now, where there's mainly good news to share, and I pray that you and I get to experience that. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 19, it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." So when the Spirit of the Lord comes in, the Spirit of the Lord is not going to come in and enable you to sin, enable you to live a sinful life and just not feel guilty about it. That's not what the Spirit of the Lord does. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, he is coming in to raise up a standard of righteousness, a standard that is going to beat back the onslaught of the enemy. That if the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord is going to break forth like an even greater flood against him. This is not a day and time for us to be trying to wage spiritual warfare in our own flesh and blood. This is a time when the assault of the enemy is being very intensified, I believe, because he knows that his days are short, and it's going to require a spiritual response. It requires the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon the people of God and raise up a standard of righteousness. In the history of revivals, there is no revival that has ever taken place where the standard of righteousness and the standard of holiness was lowered. Revival only takes place when the standard is raised by the Spirit of God and says, "That is not what I redeemed you for. That is not why Jesus died upon the cross. He died upon the cross to empower you to overcome sin, not to succumb to its temptation." So this is a time for raising the standard. By the way, I will tell you, that there are two other indicators that are indicative of when revival takes place, and that is when there is an outbreak of prayer, the spirit of supplication, the spirit of grace poured out upon his people. And you and I, we need to have our most powerful prayer time right now. We need to be people of prayer right now. Don't put it off till next year. Don't put it off until you have time. Make it a priority right now that you are going to be a person of prayer. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, there's going to be greater communication with God, not less communication with God. The other thing is when revival breaks out, it is because the Spirit of the Lord has come upon young people. And thank God for those of us who, like David, we can say, I have been young and now I'm old. But when God begins to move in the hearts of young people, and when God's people begin to pray, and when the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against the onslaught of the enemy, you can begin to look on the horizon, because there is revival that is on the way. Isaiah chapter 63, we're not going to dwell on this because we haven't gotten to Isaiah 63 yet, but it says, as a beast goes down into the valley and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. When the Spirit of the Lord is in operation upon a person's life, when the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon you, you are going to experience supernatural rest. I want you to know that that does not mean supernatural sloth. It doesn't mean supernatural laziness. It doesn't mean that we are not going to be active. It means that we are going to be operating in the strength of the Lord. So my daughter made a statement last week during the kids' convention. Came home after the second night. Now, this was the third night in a row. Let's see, is that right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They'd seen them a little bit on Friday. We had dinner Saturday. So it's the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. This would have been Monday night. And all of us have jobs. And so we get up, we go to work. I haven't even been, you know, during that week, I didn't even get to go home. I just stayed at the office and worked through that time. And that can be tiring. But my daughter made this statement on Tuesday. And she said, you know, I understand that we are very active right now, but I feel like I have been on vacation. I feel like I've been on vacation. And that's because when you are operating in the strength of the Lord, you realize that no matter how big the mountain or how impressive in appearance the obstacle might be, that it is nothing that the strength of Almighty God can't address. When we are operating in God's strength instead of our strength, we're going to find that that is a place of supernatural rest. That place of rest is a place of hearing the word of God, making tender your heart. You can look in the book of Hebrews and find out that people heard the word and they hardened their heart, and they were prevented from entering that supernatural rest. So I want to encourage you to allow God, to the Spirit of the Lord, to rest upon you, because you will experience a refreshing, I'll use that word since we're on the Refresh radio broadcast here, a refreshing in God that is going to renew your youth like the eagles. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. This was the vision of the valley of dry bones, and he was called to prophesy by the Spirit of God, And I tell you that when the Spirit of God begins to rise within you, when he has positioned you for such a time as this, that you will understand that there is nothing that you face that is a hopeless situation. It talks about those bones that had been exposed for so long. They just weren't fresh bones that were laying there. They were bones that had been exposed. They had been bleached by the sun and dried, and there was nothing that the Spirit of God could not resurrect. And so if the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're going to discover that Jesus really is the resurrection and the life, that the resurrection was not just an event the day after Christmas or a few days after the crucifixion. The resurrection is who he is. And so it might be a strained relationship that he can resurrect in the name of the Lord. It might be a dream that has died that he can resurrect in the name of the Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, allow him to focus your attention, and he'll challenge you. He said, can these bones live? You alone know, O God. You can look in Ezekiel 37. You alone know. And he says, I want you to speak to the east, to the west, to the north, and the south. And I want you to command the winds to come. And those bones began to rattle, and they began to shake, and they began to come together. And then there were sinews, and there was tissue. And the end of that statement says, and they arose a mighty army. There may be some things in your life right now that they have been cut off from the Spirit of God. Maybe it's some bad habits that have come in that have, instead of enhancing your life, have brought disease and death. Maybe it's your finances are in horrible situation, or your health and financials horrible situation. Maybe it's broken relationships. But I'm here to tell you that with the Spirit of God resting upon us, there's going to be a declaration of resurrection that you're going to be able to speak out over a situation, and it's going to get noisy, and things are going to start coming back into the place that they were supposed to have been all along, and they were going to function. Listen, I believe that the body of Christ needs to come together as a united body, as a united entity that is designed to function as a great and mighty army. No matter what you're going through today, I pray that God would revive and resurrect hope and expectation in your life, and he's going to use it powerfully for his glory. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.